Now it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It's 4:02 in the Pacific time zone. That means it's time for Toker Talk Radio. We got our ears on here. Phone number is 971-533-7111. It's right there on the screen, right below me. You can see it. Small little letters right there. You can call that number and I'll answer and we can talk. Make sure you're following me out on social media. I'm at Radical Russ. The show is at RB Show 420, and the network is at 420radio.org. So glad you could join us here for hour two, because lots to talk about. I've just gotten so excited about how boring last night was. I mean, it's kind of a surreal situation, right? Have you ever been to a legislative committee hearing? Have just on anything, right? Much less marijuana. It's dull. It's really dull. You know, dim the lights a little bit. It's 5 o'clock. Got a little PowerPoint. Not even a PowerPoint. It was like a word table with text on it up, you know, projected on the side. You got one guy with his back to you talking to, was it 9 on the committee? 10 on the committee? I think there's 12 on the committee and 9 were there, 10 were there, something like that. Anyway, I could count if I bothered to. And it was just dull, right? Because, and point number 3, the OLCC would really like to have the regulatory authority to have peace officer designation in the cases of the implementation of the law when the authorities would need to conduct a minor. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, shit. Just dozed off there again for a second. And that's exciting in its dullness. And I mean that in that we are at a place where marijuana is boring. We've gotten to a place with legalization here in Oregon where marijuana is just another item up on the docket for the subcommittees to talk about. And it's just, you know, regular business. Now, there were a couple of chuckles here and there. Senator Floyd Prezansky, I think, came up with the laugh of the night talking about whether or not the law intended to or would allow for marijuana delivery services. And he made some crack about maybe they could combine that with the pizza delivery services. And newsflash, Senator Prezansky, that's how a lot of pizza delivery drivers make their living. But it was a cute little joke there. And there's a couple of others that came through the hearing. Again, you can watch it at the Oregon legislative site. We've got the link at portlandnormal.org. In the meantime, I wanted to also talk about my upcoming debate next Tuesday at Texas Christian University, TCU. And I'll just read to you the story about it from TCU 360, which I believe is the student newspaper there. TCU is joining the discussion raging across the United States on the legalization and commercialization of recreational marijuana. On March 17th, the Brown-Lupton University Union Ballroom will play host to a panel debate on marijuana, put on by TCU Alcohol and Drug Education and The Bottom Line, an organization centered around making low-risk choices in terms of drugs and alcohol. Well, look, if you are forced to make a choice for a drug, marijuana is the lowest risk one you can choose. Let me continue. The four experts participating in the debate, dubbed The Blunt Truth, are TCU professor Dr. Don Mills, radio host Radical Russ Belville, University of Washington professor Dr. Jason Kilmer, and Ben Cort, a member of the board of directors of Safe Approaches to Marijuana. Smart Approaches to Marijuana. I love it when they mess up their names. That's great. Let me continue. Belville will advocate for the legalization of marijuana, something he has devoted a large amount of his time to in his personal life and on his radio show. However, he said marijuana is only one part of a larger cause. Quote, marijuana isn't really the issue, Belville said. It's whether a government has the right to dictate personal, mental, and physical integrity through force, coercion, and unequal treatment. End quote. Belville said that he hopes to expose the scaremongering of those opposed to marijuana legalization. Quote, by the time your future kids are attending TCU, prohibiting marijuana will seem as much a failure as alcohol prohibition. End quote, he said. His opposition for the debate will be Cort, a former marijuana addict and alcoholic who has committed his life to treatment counseling for those struggling with drugs. Cort said he was driven to join anti-legalization efforts after he understood the political motivations behind the proposed laws. Quote, I didn't know anything about politics, he said. It really struck me how far from center it was that they were proposing, because you saw that the idea was more about commercializing than it was decriminalization. End quote. You know, I want to talk about that point Ben Cort is making, because this is the new pivot point for the drug warriors, is to not fight legalization, but to fight commercialization. Show you how wrong that is in my little prep for this debate.
Don't touch that dial. We're right back to Radical Russ in just a few minutes. Hey, does anybody really have a dial anymore? You're listening to The Russ Belville Show.
Also coming up on the show, we've got a story of a New York mom who says her teen daughter was partially paralyzed by a pot brownie. Okay. And another story coming out of Time Magazine, new study, the journal Hippocampus, says teen pot smokers have more memory damage. They studied a whole 97 people, folks. Stay tuned. More coming up on Toker Talk Radio right after these commercial messages.
.420 Radio, the world's voice of marijuana legalization. Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal, ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers.
Connect with 420radio.org through social media, on Twitter at 420radio.org, and our Facebook page at 420radio.org. Follow us and like us today. You'll be glad you did.
This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today.
Rest in peace to my motherfucking Biggie Smalls. That's right, boy. It's going on right here. Thug life. God bless the dead. God bless the dead and Bubby, nigga. Don't worry if you see God first. Tell him shit got worse.
Welcome back, everybody. 10 after the hour of that, of course, is Tupac with God Bless the Dead. Listening to Toker Talk Radio, and on the phone, we're going to go out to Arizona where we've got Electric Bob calling in. How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing good. I just wanted to get a few pointers, basically. It seems like the dispensaries are going against people growing a measly 6 plants, and I seen how you guys got grow with your legalization. I was just wondering what we Arizonans can do to get legalization on our ballot.
Okay, so you're saying that the dispensaries in Arizona are politically opposed to a legalization that lets you grow your own?
Yeah, there's the Arizona Dispensary Association, and they haven't came out officially, but there's been hearsay, and a lot of dispensary owners are bitching about people growing a measly 6 plants.
Are they saying that 6 isn't enough, or they just don't want any home grow?
They don't want any home grow because they have it locked. They have it locked in right now because right. No one can grow in it. No one can grow here anyways.
Right, right. Because if you don't know Arizona's law, folks, it says that as a medical marijuana patient, you can only home grow if you live more than 25 miles from a dispensary. And that currently is almost nowhere in Arizona, right?
Yeah, that's out there in the boondocks.
I think Tuba City. I think you can grow in Tuba City.
Yeah.
The downside is you have to live in Tuba City.
Yeah, it's nothing but trailers and 20 miles away from Utah.
Yeah, exactly. It's that's where Snoopy's younger brother Spike is. No, he's from Needles, I think. Anyway, okay, so pointers on this. Well, it's obviously a rent-seeking behavior by these guys, trying to lock in themselves as being the only source of marijuana, and they fear that if there's home grow, people are going to just undercut it and not have to shop at these dispensaries. Now,
people are already doing that.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
Yeah, it's already, you know, that's the thing. You can't repeal law of supply and demand, and whether it's legal or illegal, people are always growing marijuana. Always going to happen. Now, are these dispensaries in line to become the suppliers for the recreational program too?
Yes.
Okay, so that's the thing. They want to be the one-stop shop for patients and recreational users, and you can't grow your own. Okay, so here's one of the talking points I would use is that most people don't grow. So
that's what I was saying too, because even if you even want to grow, you need to put at least a few grand into it because your first grow is probably not going to be your best.
Right. Yeah. Most people don't grow. And so they are trying to come up with, they've got a solution in search of a problem. The legalization isn't going to affect their bottom line that much. In fact, another way you could paint this, how many, you got what, 70,000 patients in Arizona?
I think it was like 63. I think you told me last time.
Yeah, like 60, 70,000. All right. So you say, look, guys, for the little bit of business you might lose from a guy who wants to grow his own, you gain business from having, 5-6 times the number of possible customers.
Plus that, and plus they can consultation fees for people and classes, and I don't know. It just seems that they're just bullheaded.
Yeah, it's really short-sighted and anti-liberty on their part, and not very wise. Like, you know, I pay attention to what the owners of dispensaries around here in Portland do and say and support and don't support. And that's where my dollars go. There's a dispensary on Sandy I won't go to anymore now that I've learned some of their positions on legalization. So it's their right to make these decisions and to have these opinions, but there might be some, you know, market consequences to that.
Exactly. Yeah. It just seems very, very dumb on their part, since because a lot of the people in Safer Arizona are just boycotting. We're currently boycotting MMP until they add at least some kind of middle ground or something, because they gutted the grow rights and their proposition.
That marijuana policy project?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You know, MPP gave you the medical program with the 25-mile halo. And I remember asking their guy, well, I can't remember his name, but they're a representative in Arizona, why they wanted to do that. And they said, well, we want to make sure that the dispensaries will have a guaranteed clientele so that they'll be viable, you know, because selling pot is such a tough business, right?
Yeah. And look how it is in California. How many people can grow and how many people you get a card, you can grow in California, and how many people are still going to dispensaries every day?
Exactly. You know, and I always hold myself up as the perfect example. You know, I don't know that there's very many people in America with as much knowledge and access to the expert growers. I mean, like, I've got Subcool, Jorge Cervantes, Danny Danko in my speed dial. I can't grow for shit. I'm the last guy, some pathetic crops I've put forth, man. Keep me behind the computer. They keep me out of the grow room, man.
and plus, even when you're growing, it's going to take at least 2 months. So you're still buying weed from a dispensary. I don't know. I just wanted to call and vent on it and get some planters from you since you're like the number one activist guy I know.
Well, you know, appeal to their greed, right? They're doing this because they're greedy, right? Well, that's why I would appeal to the greed and say, dudes, don't you realize you're at, by opposing home grow in a legalization, you're just pissing off people who might be your customers. And besides, after legalization, you're going to be swimming in so much more money anyway. That why would you want to do anything to damage your brand reputation?
Exactly. And it seems like people are no grow, no vote. I'm just like, I don't know. It's on both sides, and there's, you know how crazy it is.
Oh yeah.
Some of these people.
Yeah. You know me, it's like when it makes the ballot, if it stops people from going to jail for holding weed, I have to vote for it. Even if it doesn't have home grow, even has awful shit in it. But until it makes the ballot, oh, hell yeah, bitch, all you want.
and that's how I am. But the one thing is here in Arizona, to do anything with a voter-approved ballot, you need three-fourths of state vote to even change anything in a ballot. So even when we got legalization, if it didn't have grow, so it's a weird...
Oh, it's like Washington here. State where you have to have like a three-quarters vote to be able to amend a citizen initiative?
Yes.
Yeah, Washington's like a two-thirds. Yours is even tougher, huh?
No, I think ours is two-thirds also.
Yeah, but still, supermajority, very, very hard to get. So, and that's the thing, I think Ohio activists are saying the same thing with respect to going into the Constitution and how hard it would be to change, you know, because one of the responses, well, if it's not in there, we'll just fix it later. Well, it's tough to fix it later sometimes. So you have to weigh that.
Exactly.
You have to weigh that on, you know, how badly you want to see prohibition end. For me, it's simple because I think once you end the contraband nature of cannabis, so much else is fixed. Like there's no more probable cause. There's no more drug dogs. The smell of marijuana doesn't matter, et cetera, that it's easier to fight for the fixes after that.
Yeah. And especially since our new governor, Doug Ducey, just took out, I think it was $90 million from schools and put it right into private prisons.
Oh yeah. There you go. Oh, well, good luck on that. I hope you guys get home grow in your initiative for 2016.
I do too. And thanks for the pointers, Russ. You have a good day.
You're welcome. Thanks, Electric Bob. Check out his show, Electric Bob's Boogaloo, every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. for the latest electronic mix that all you young people are so hip to. Sounds like dolphins mating with modems, but to me, because I'm old, right? But anyway, when we come back from break, we're going to talk more about that TCU debate thing and how Ben Cort from Project Sam says that it's not really about decriminalization. It's all about commercialization and how awful that is. Hey, if you want to be the guy in Texas standing against American capitalism, hey, I'll give you all the room you need to make that point. Oh, folks, I can't wait for this debate. I've been thinking about it for weeks now, and I have all these great new lines. Haven't used them on the show yet. In fact, got to talking to Coleco last night, and he gave me some great ideas of how I'm going to work my message to a Christian university audience in Texas. I'm supposed to be the radical liberal on the panel. I'm going to do a little bait and switch with him. It's going to be awesome.
Don't you blaspheme in here. Don't you blaspheme in here.
Oh, I'll try not to. Hey, it's 420, everybody, and I finally found a battery that works for my vape pen. I have like four batteries here. They work great until you screw the thing. Like this one, blue light, supposed to be good, right? You screw the cartridge on it, doesn't work. Ah, first world problems. Happy 420, everyone. We're right back with Groovin' Thursday after this.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with our Shoutcast stream for all internet-enabled media players. Go to rad-r.us/420shout or just click the Shoutcast icon below the live radio feed at 420radio.org. Get your tickets now for the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference, March 15th and 16th at the Hilton in Eugene, Oregon, powered by MarijuanaPolitics.com. Former presidential candidate and two-term New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson will deliver the keynote address. Harborside Health Center's Steve D'Angelo will present at the pre-conference VIP reception. You'll also hear from State Senator Floyd Prezansky, New Approach Oregon's Anthony Johnson, Oregon marijuana attorneys Paul Loney and Leland Berger, and Oregon Liquor Control Commission's Director of Marijuana Programs, Tom Burns. Get your tickets at early bird pricing by acting now. Learn more at the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference at ommbc.com. This conference will provide you with a head start for success in the expanding Oregon marijuana industry. Get your tickets today at OMMBC. Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Groovin' Thursday, featuring rap, hip-hop, soul, and funk music. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
All right, everybody, 23 and a half after the hour, the vapor pen is working, and we got Chuck Diesel on the line. How you doing, Chuck?
Doing great. How are you, Russ?
I'm lifted. Finally.
How was that? Remember when I came by? What was the name of that vapor pen that we had, the little black one?
Is it a little thin one? Thin black one?
Yeah, it kind of looked almost like an inhaler. It wasn't that thin. It looks kind of like one I've seen called the PAX, but I wasn't sure if that's it.
Gosh, I don't know. I don't know where that's at.
Well, it worked too well, so we don't remember.
That's probably it.
There we go.
We got some great music coming up
today.
I'm doing fantastic. You know, the weather is great here in Portland, and I'm headed out to the Oregon Liquor Control's Oregon Liquor Control Commission's final listening session on marijuana legalization. They held their last one here in Portland, right? They've been going all around the state. Now, they got an earful when they went out to Eastern Oregon and all the conservatives and the ranchers and all, oh, we don't like pot. Oh, we didn't vote for this shit. Brr. So now they get to hear from the Portlanders, where in the area they're holding this, that is at the Left Bank Annex, that precinct voted 89.9% in favor of legalization.
Yeah,
so
it's pretty clear how people feel.
I think this one's going to be a good one. I'm going to try to stream it live. If they've got Wi-Fi, I'll stream it live on the RB Live channel starting at 7 p.m. tonight, Pacific time.
Excellent, excellent. Hey, and I also had been meaning to mention, because I know you talked about it and you were kind of what got me looking into it, that and Immortal Technique talks about it a lot, but I watched that Kill the Messenger, the Gary Webb movie.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen that?
I have not yet. I want to.
I watched it. It was really good. It kind of, you know, I watched it with my girlfriend, and I don't think she was expecting the kind of brutal ending where it's like, well, they pretty much screwed this guy, mm-hmm. but he was right.
Yeah. And if you don't know what we're talking about, Gary Webb in the 80s was a reporter for the San Jose Mercury News who uncovered the story of Freeway Ricky Ross and the whole CIA crack cocaine connection. And then, I don't want to give away what's all in the movie, but it was amazing revelation. Of course, was denied at the top levels for years and years and years. And then years later, he was right.
Yeah, and the saddest part to me was just that other journalists kind of had a hand in mm-hmm. his downfall because they were jealous, and that's what really bummed me out. It's like, you got to expect CIA, all that sort of thing, you got to expect they're going to cover their tracks, but you don't always expect other journalists to turn on you as well.
Yeah, the toughest battles are usually not with your opponents, it's with your allies. I found that in the marijuana reform movement, man. It's like cops and prosecutors and prison guards. I know what to expect from them. But like in 2010, when Northern California growers were against legalization, I'm like, huh?
Yeah. And it's hard to counter it because you're like, where do I start? I mean, if you don't understand it now, I don't know what I'm going to say that's going to change your mind.
No kidding. Oh, boy. All right, let's get to some tunes for today. It's Groovin' Thursday, and it looks like you got more Talib for us.
So we've got Talib Kweli and High Tech with their Reflection Eternal when they get together. And this is a mixtape they did called Reunion. And this is called Come Around, I believe. And they've got Terminology and Royce da 5'9" also on there. So it should be pretty good. I'm really excited. Next Wednesday, Talib Kweli and Immortal Technique, which, if you can tell by what I play, are two of my favorites, are playing at the Roseland Theater.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
That's going to be a good one.
Yeah. I hope you can get out there to see them.
Oh, I will. I'm planning on it. Got my tickets, and who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll get a meet and smoke with them.
Yeah. Take some photos, and if you need, like, some 420 radio cards or stickers to, you know, make the impression, come on by, and I'll get you some.
That's what I was thinking. All right, that sounds good.
All right, right on. Well, let's get to it. Talib Kweli and High Tech, known as Reflection Eternal, featuring Terma. And the tune is called Come Around. Enjoy, and thanks so much, Chuck. We'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon, man.
Some you can feel music.
Yeah.
I used to
feel good.
Singing, baby.
Feel good. Come on. Yeah, come on. You good if you know me. Royce 5'9, Terminology, Talib Kweli. What a lineup. Who brings you such things? Static Selector.
You good if you know me.
Word. It's the BKMC.
Just sing it all out now. Sing it all out. Let the world know what life's all about.
Yeah, I stay ill till I stop breathing. When I attack, my eyes go black like a shark feeding. If I get too excited, rather start bleeding. So I sit still and listen to my heart beating. I could either be part angel, part demon. Snatch the food off your plate, start eating. Fraud's cheating, but of course we make the odds even. We show up and the bougie niggas start leaving. Yeah, I do it the smartest. I'm the truest, the hardest. Nigga, you're stupid to start it. I'm a student of Marvin. I learned my lesson. And earn my blessings. Invest in the weapons with Static Selector. Betcha the blunts burning the session. The oldest profession is pimping and prostitution, which leads to consensual sexual revolution. Heating them hot things till they singing in falsetto. Now they undoing they buttons and pulling strings like Geppetto. Come on, that's why they never let go.
I'll achieve, baby.
So special. What? Jeffrey Dahmer, Ready Freddy Nirvana, all day. My kick's white like baby powder. You a coward, give you a less showers, hours. Me and Stack, the Twin Towers. I gave you power, this is that, nah, shit. My weed sour, and I push powder. Now I write DX, double X, Mo checks, swallow X, Cobex. Slow steps, cop shit like croquettes. Ding dash, a rap, I push Covex. So let's
Let's get it in for my twins, all my friends in the bands with the friends running trends. Jacuzzi movie, the booty twirly, your movie, my Lucy loving a nookie. Yo, put to me, she a groupie bitch. Stupid chips in the whip, making movie clips. Robbing banks with 5'9"s, killing the music biz.
All right, I'm here. Nicholas, Static is, Term is. How could you possibly top me? Them poppers is choppy, looking like my whole block is a Rocky. Me and hip hop go together like swastika Nazi. Together like Tupac and who shot me. Together like the new president Barack in the hot seat. I'm ever so evidently colder than y'all. Even after y'all niggas go to the mall, I got a flow like it's no tomorrow. That you couldn't hold a burrow or bite it. Easy said, harder to write it. I got the brain of a miser, heart of a lion. Got the spit game of a geyser, the art of Orion. Y'all niggas losing weight daily like the real Carson. Excuse the psychology like Dr. Phil farting. Lyrical sword that I'm still sharpening. 8K-47, I'm still sparking.
Ayo, 2010 shaping up to be a good year. It's Static Selector's year, you know what I'm saying? The album 100 proof, in stores February. Reflection Eternal, Revolutions Per Minute, Talib Kweli High Tech, in stores in March. You better save your pennies, homeboy. You know what I'm saying? Get on that iTunes, get on that Amazon, go to your local record store, if they still exist, if you can find one.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with the TuneIn Radio app for all mobile platforms. Go to rad-r.us/420TuneIn or just click the TuneIn Radio icon below the live radio feed on 420radio.org. The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, treat law enforcement with respect and stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney." Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com.
Oh man, I really dig this tune. You should really check out this groove.
Cool. Groovy.
Hey, check out more deep cuts like this on my show, Big Daddy Fink's Funky Roller Rink, every Thursday night on 420 Radio.
Funky Roller Rink.
Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
My name's Johnny Giuliano.
Super fresh and my swag so official.
What?
Super fresh.
The Kush lit.
Swag so official and my swag.
Yeah, buddy.
Swag so official.
Y'all already know. Taylor gang, Taylor made money gang.
And my swag.
Yeah, bitch.
Super fresh and my swag so official.
Uh-huh.
Swag so official.
Yeah. The world turns, the Kush burns. I touch paper, more paper than a bookworm. So look, learn, all I need's my cake, a blunt and a pretty face. Then I'm straight like a good burn.
Welcome back, everybody. That's Wiz Khalifa with Extra Credit. And a big thanks to Chuck Diesel for the Reflection Eternal music. The more I hear it, the more I like it. I'm liking everything that Chuck's been bringing up lately. That's good stuff. See, I'm not that old. All right, let me get back to this TCU debate that's happening on Tuesday. And, you know, on one hand, sometimes I feel sorry for the people that have to represent the prohibition side in a legalization debate because they're on the losing side.
right now. I mean, just public opinion wise, you know, when you think of the polls lately, past, I don't know, 8-9 polls have all shown majority support for legalization nationwide. Now, it may not be majority support in Texas, but we are on a college campus with younger people. And the younger you get, the more support there is for marijuana legalization. So sometimes I feel sorry for these guys. And then in going here, I kind of was thinking about how, you know, it's like Daniel and Lion's Den sort of a situation. First of all, I'm going to Texas Christian University, and I am pretty far from Christian, right? And it's Texas, which is a pretty red state, and I'm Mr. Blue State, you know, red state refugee. And I'm kind of being poised as the liberal in the debate in a place that's, you know, really conservative, right? So I thought that would be the first thing that I would address in this debate. So when I do this debate, and I don't know if it's going to be streamed online or not, I can't stream it. I'm contractually forbidden from streaming or recording it. Sorry, folks. But if it ends up online somehow, and if I find a feed for it or whatever, I'll let you know. But that's the first thing I'm going to go into is that, you know what, when it comes, oh, no, no, not going to tell I'm an atheist. No, 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 no. I will not going to go that far. I'm just going to say I'm not a Christian. That's all. Anyway, when it comes to these issues, when it comes to marijuana legalization, I actually think that my position is a conservative one. Don't you think? I don't want government in my life. I want to end a wasteful government program, an ineffective government program. I want to let businesses flourish, and I want to enhance the personal responsibility angle of using marijuana. It's not very far from a conservative argument, if you ask me. But I wanted to get to Ben Cort, because he... You know, it's going to be interesting because I think when I go to these debates, there's literally thousands of hours of me talking about this issue. Just about every aspect of it from multiple perspectives. So, like, if you're going into this as a debater, and I don't know if Ben's out there listening or if he thinks like this, but if it were me going into the debate against me, I'd be watching lots of these shows and learning what my standard and my style is and figuring out how to debunk what I say and so forth and having little punchy lines and one-liners to defang some of my best talking points. So sometimes when I go to these debates, I think that way. Like if the person I'm going up against think like I do, boy, he's got all the material in the world for debate prep, huh? All I've got on this guy is just a few things he's written at Project Sam and just the whole general Project Sam thing. And knowing that he's a recovering marijuana addict and alcoholic. And hey, you want to call yourself a marijuana addict? Maybe it was for you. I'm not the kind of guy who says that you can't get addicted to marijuana. Hell, there's people addicted to video games. There's people addicted to masturbating. There's people addicted to shopping. I mean, people addicted to not throwing shit away, right? Hoarders. So, you know, you could get addicted to marijuana, sure. I don't think you getting addicted to marijuana is any reason to stop me from smoking it, but I'll grant that that can be. So I have a good feel, you know, I don't know his positions personally or specifically, but I have a good feel for the activist community when it comes to the addiction world, right? When it comes to the whole 12 steps and Narcotics Anonymous and all these kind of guys. My dad was a drug and alcohol counselor after getting treatment for being a drug and alcohol addict, right? So up until I was like 12 years old, I got to live with Dad the addict. And then from about 12 to 17, I got to live with Dad the recovering addict going to college. We actually graduated the same year. I graduated high school and he graduated college the same year. A great photo of the two of us in our gowns. It's hilarious. And then from age 17 to about, well, till about I moved to Oregon, now that I think about it. So 17 to 32, 15 years, it was Dad, the drug and alcohol counselor. He actually became a drug and alcohol rehab counselor. He got a social work degree. He was the president of the student social workers, went back, got his drug and alcohol certification, and became a rehab counselor at the place he got rehab. Right? So I got a pretty broad view of the whole addiction recovery and treatment models. I know many of these paradigms and all their little sayings and thoughts about the processes. So it's going to be a very interesting debate, I think, if he tries to pull any of these recovery 12-step type of cards on me. I'm pretty prepared for those. But the latest one that they're all trumpeting, and I know this is straight from the top, this is straight from Kevin Sabet, because Kevin's not dumb, right? He's misguided as hell, but he's not dumb. He can see public opinion polls. He can see the last two elections. Legalization's coming. At first, when Project Sam first came out, it was shotgun, man. It was all over the place. It was, well, medical marijuana, that's just bullshit. You know, we should let the FDA study it. And, you know, maybe 15 years from now when someone can patent it and put it in an inhaler and put a 1,000% markup on it, then maybe it'll be okay. But we need to let the science. He's not in there. He's not in there anymore. He won't even play in the medical marijuana world anymore. And it, except for the smoked marijuana. Smoked marijuana is not medicine. Because it's just impossible to deny the medical utility of marijuana anymore. Just impossible. And used to be, you know, a lot about addiction and the problems with, you know, marijuana. But now the whole spiel, the tip of the spear for Project Sam and these guys is the commercialization angle. I believe that they are resigned to the fact that legalization is happening. Legalization is going to happen. So the question for them is, where can they set a position that keeps it as illegal as possible? As much social disapproval of marijuana as possible. Because this is really just a culture war, by the way. This really is just about using the force of law to maintain a cultural superiority. It's really all it's about. Why? What's the proof? Well, the proof is any argument they make for marijuana being prohibited is a far better argument for alcohol being prohibited. And yet, they accept alcohol. They don't fight alcohol. They don't ever even propose that we ought to reduce adult drinking. They don't even propose that. Not even on the radar. And when you ask why don't you support alcohol prohibition? Well, it's too culturally ingrained. It's too excess, too late. It's too culturally ingrained. Maybe if we could go back to 1,000 years and start from the... Oh, so you would prohibit alcohol, but you don't have the power to. I see. So really, if it's culturally accepted enough, you don't fight it. But if the culture's small enough for you to fight and win, you'll fight it. I see. So you are admitting it's a culture war, right? But so their latest tack here is, let me get you his quote again. It really struck me how far from center it was, what they were proposing, because you saw that the idea was more about commercializing than it was decriminalization. See, they want to paint this as if it's rich guys going, we're going to get everyone addicted and make tons of money. As if none of this has to do with, oh, black people being 4 times more likely to be busted for this crap. That has nothing to do with, oh, police agencies routinely stopping and seizing cash and property from citizens. They want to pretend that it's not about these social justice issues, not about these racial issues, not about these health issues, not about smart implementation of our scarce resources. They want to paint it as all being about big marijuana. The big marijuana is coming in. They're going to be like the big tobacco. They're going to be awful. They're going to addict our kids and bring out Joe Camel. It's going to be terrible. The big marijuana. Well, of course, the big argument against the big marijuana is there's already a big marijuana big marijuana already exists. It's the second most popular drug in this country. You have to be pretty big to get number two, don't you? But the other aspect of this is to call them on that, because they want to pretend like they're a sensible middle ground. On the one side, we have the far left craziness of legalization. And then on the other side, we have this far right craziness of lock them up and throw away the key. And we've got the sensible middle ground of keep it illegal, but just punish them a little. Keep it illegal and keep it the punishment just enough to dissuade people from wanting to do it, and just enough to make profit on rehab and tickets and all of that. But don't give people the criminal records and don't have the racial disproportionality that makes us look bad. We're trying to get the most palatable war on drugs we can possibly get. Let's lighten it up just enough that we can continue fighting the war on drugs, but it's just not so ugly. That's their goal. And the way to destroy that argument is to point out that it isn't about legalization or prohibition, as if this is a binary thing. It's a spectrum, folks. It's a spectrum. It runs even past legalization. The spectrum goes farther than commercial legalization. There's a spectrum that's being proposed in East Texas right now to deregulate marijuana. Like, it's not on the law books at all. It's dandelions. How many dandelions can you have? Who knows? As many as you want. Nobody gives a shit. You can have all the dandelions you like. That's the far, far left edge, if you want to call it left, of legalization. And there's a far, far right edge that we're nowhere near as well, that they have like in Singapore, you know, death penalty level prohibition. And so there's a spectrum further out to the extremes of legalization and prohibition, and there's all sorts of little levels in between prohibition and legalization. In Spain, they have a cannabis club system where adults can possess and cultivate marijuana, and they can join together in social clubs and exchange seedlings and talk and get high and have fun. But there's no commerce involved in it. That's not commercial. Would you support a legalization like that? Can we have a legalization where it's legal to have it and we can grow it and trade it with each other, but no selling, no stores? There's a type of legalization they have in Uruguay where you can grow it and you can have it, but you have to get it at government-run stores, completely government-run. It's all government-run. There's no commercialization there. Or how about a system like the Netherlands? Kind of a half commercialization. We'll worry about the retail side of things. We'll have coffee shops with limits and pull advertising. You have to get the advertising. It can't be pushed to you. You have to push a button or have to request a menu. You have to ask for it. It can't be pushed on you. But the supply, the production side, we don't care. We don't know what's going on there. We could even have a commercial system where people could buy marijuana, sell marijuana, grow marijuana, have marijuana, but make it like some states that have state-run liquor stores. You know, we could have marijuana stores that are state-run. In fact, in North Bonneville, Washington, there is a city-run dispensary right now. The city is making direct profit money from marijuana sales. There's a level that's kind of commercial, but, you know, it's not like the city is going to be advertising their pot shop. So there's this great spectrum of legalization options, great spectrum of reform options, I should say, that are neither legalization nor prohibition. Ben, are you willing to accept any of those, possibly?
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while. Share.
You
you can get 420 Radio on the go with the Ustream video app for Android and iPhone. Go to rad-r.us/420Ustream or just click the Ustream app icon for Android or iPhone below the live radio feed at 420radio.org. At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs, and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics, Herbie Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show.
Despite strong public support for medical cannabis, decriminalization, and legalization in Georgia, the state spends $121 million every year to arrest, prosecute, and imprison Georgians for simple possession. Each year, the state of Georgia spends less on driver services, agriculture, and forestry combined. What else can $121 million a year do in Georgia? With that much money, the state could hire and keep 3,000 more teachers, improve roads and bridges, provide tax relief for small businesses, repair aging sewage systems, or lower taxes. But right now, that's millions of dollars of your tax money wasted on failed enforcement. Tell your representative you're tired of wasteful spending and ask them to end cannabis prohibition. Join the conversation at www.peachtreenormal.org. Peachtree Normal is a proud affiliate of Normal, the national organization for the reform of marijuana laws.
Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
Welcome back, everybody. It's 52 and a half after the hour. That was an intro from one of Pep Love's albums. And I was discussing that spectrum, and I'd gotten this from the Rand Report. And the Rand Report that is covered in the Washington Post. And it's really cool, and it actually has more options than I had considered in my original discussion. But this is something I'm definitely going to be bringing up in the debate at TCU. I don't know if they're going to allow PowerPoints, if that's going to be a thing or not. But if so, this is this spectrum that I was talking about, where, you know, we could go even further out to the to one side, prohibit and increase sanctions, right? We could have allow adults to grow their own. This is the Washington D.C. model. You can grow your own, but there's no clubs. There's no nothing else. This is the Spain model, communal own grow and distribution. The retail only model, like Netherlands. Government operates a supply chain, like Uruguay. Public authority, a near monopoly option. Have nonprofit organizations run it. This would be the public authority, like liquor stores, you know, like the public, you know, state-run liquor stores and stuff. Nonprofit organizations running it, for-benefit companies running it, very few monitored for-profit licensees, and then the standard commercial model, and even further out, the repeal of state prohibition. Just repeal all laws like the Texas legislator is talking about. So we've got this spectrum of 12 different options for marijuana reform. I'm willing to discuss any of them except the two on the far left. The prohibit and the prohibit. Anyone that's not prohibit, I'm willing to discuss and accept. But I don't think the other side is. All right, let me get to the story that I had promised to discuss at the beginning of the show. The New York mom here claims her teen daughter was partially paralyzed after unknowingly eating a pot brownie. Now, I know of you hear the Maureen Dowd story where she over ingested some THC and was curled up in a ball on her hotel room, right? But I don't think she said she was paralyzed. But she says, this mom says, that she ate part of a brownie, shared it with two other students, and got sick. Around 11 a.m., the school called me. They said she had high blood pressure and her heart was racing, and they were taking her to the emergency room. Now, I'm with that so far. I've experienced that personally when I've over-ingested. She was later released from the hospital, but upon arriving home, her mother said her daughter was unable to walk by herself and couldn't eat or drink. So they took her to another hospital. 17-year-old's been hospitalized ever since. This was February 27th, so she's been in the hospital for a couple weeks now. She's not able to walk. She can't stand. She can't sit up. They have never seen anything like this before, Buchanan told the New York City area television station. She had no pre-existing conditions and no prior involvement with drugs or alcohol, according to the mom. Medical tests show the only substance in her system at the time was marijuana. Baffled as to whether or not she had an allergic reaction to the drug or it was something else that caused the partial paralysis. According to Dr. Richard Francis, it is also possible the brownie was laced with synthetic pot, PCP, or something else. But again, the test said the only substance in her system was marijuana. And if she went to the hospital, let's see, she ate the brownie in the morning at the high school. And then 11 a.m. went to the 2-3 hours out. If there was PCP in that brownie, you still would have detected it. So I don't buy that. As far as it being synthetic, could it be made with one of those synthetic cannabinoids? Possibly. But would that trip marijuana in the drug test? See, part of the reason people use those synthetics is because they can get away with not testing positive on the drug test. Now, there's another possible explanation. Mere correlation. Maybe there's something going on with this girl. Maybe she's getting the first stages of Lou Gehrig's disease. Who knows, right? Could be something else is happening to her. And that day she happened to eat a pot brownie and they're confusing the correlation with causation. Maybe that's part of it. But it's a shame to hear this kind of a story. Again, this is happening in New York where marijuana is illegal. Right? Whenever you hear these stories, it's like they want to try to blame it on the popularity of marijuana or marijuana legalization. These stories have always existed. They just get more play these days because media companies have recognized that marijuana is a keyword that will get you lots of clicks. There are no more kids having fun with pot brownies now than there were before. That ease of access statistic has been about the same for 40 years. It ranges between like 82 and 92% of 12th graders say it's easy or fairly easy to get a hold of marijuana. And they've been baking the pot brownies for all those times, all those years. Again, part of the reason high school kids would do this is because you can't really hide the smell of a joint, smoke on your clothing and all of that when you're in school. But a brownie you can nibble on in class. Nobody would be the wiser. I'm not telling any tales here. I mean, everybody knows this is the case. It's been the case for years and years. But now it gets more play because marijuana is a popular keyword. Marijuana is a popular story. It gets a lot of hits, gets a lot of viewers, gets a lot of listeners. And in the states where it's legal and there are increases, like, oh, now there's so many more kids being brought to the emergency room for over-ingestion. Yeah, because it's legal now. They don't have to fear that they're going to get their kids taken away by Child Protective Services automatically just because they're adults who use marijuana. They don't have to worry about anybody calling the cops and showing up at their house. Oh, there was something, your kid ate some marijuana. Let's go to your house and see if you've got a grow. People are more willing to report this stuff now that it's legal. All right, that's all the time. Time flies when we legalize. Gotta go. Headed off to the OLCC meeting. I'll try and stream it live on RB Live. Until next time, take care of each other, Tokers, and stay tuned for live Big Daddy Fink tonight.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.